The San Jose Sharks Audio Network is on 24 hours a day. Whether you're in the office or on the go, make sure that you download the Sharks SAP Center app and hit listen anytime. You can also find us on your computer by going to sjsharks.com/listen. If it's a game broadcast, breaking news, or a player feature, the place to find it is right here on the San Jose Sharks Audio Network.
Eklund with a shot. He scores! William Eklund caps an astounding comeback. The Sharks win it!
You're listening to the San Jose Sharks Morning Tide. Morning Tide.
Tyler Toffoli on a brilliant feed from William Eklund. Macklin Severini, his first National Hockey League hat trick. Smith shoots. Score! Will Smith just tied the game!
Now, here's your host, Ted Ramey.
Comes Heiskanen down the right side for the Stars. Carries into the shark zone, into the corner, knocked down there by Colin Graf. Graf loses a stick on the play, gets it back, starts to move up the ice, and Chernyshov grabs it and skates out. Crisscrosses with Graf, feeds on the left, Celebrini. Back for Chernyshov, in front, Graf, tip, score! What a spectacular goal! Celebrini to Chernyshov, to Graf. Graf's second goal makes the score. Dallas 4, the Sharks 3, and that is Colin Graf's eighth of the year.
Yeah, I mean, we got to clean up a couple things. But we played a hard game against a really tough opponent that's built extremely well as far as their size, their strength, their big forwards, a superstar in Rantanen, Robertson, I mean, Hintz, you know, Heskinen, you go down the line. So we went punch to punch with them and came up a little short. You know, we shoot ourselves in the foot a couple times and they bury it. We get some chances, they save it. So sometimes that happens.
Good morning, everyone. It is Friday, December 19th. The Sharks are coming off a loss to the Dallas Stars, putting an end to their three-game win streak. They are 5-5 in their last 10 games. They currently have 37 points on the year. They are occupying the second wild card spot, 2 points back of the LA Kings. And then we look at the Pacific Division. They are 3 points back of Edmonton, 5 points back of Anaheim, and 5 points back of Vegas. I am going to be honest with you guys, however, that was the least concerning loss the San Jose Sharks have experienced in quite some time. I looked at that game and I walked away with more positives than negatives by a mile. The thing that I am now seeing with San Jose, with what they did against Toronto, with what they did against Pittsburgh, with the way they played against Calgary, especially in the third period of that game, and the way they started playing in the third period of that game against Dallas last night, is that the San Jose Sharks are figuring out how to flip momentum in a game, create the momentum, take over the game, come line after line, wave after wave, possession after possession, and put the opposition on its heels and flip the game on its head. And Dallas was holding on for dear life, and they're a very, very good team. I am not going to say anything other than Dallas. That was a really good win for them last night, to take advantage of the Sharks' mistakes. But guys, it is scary the potential that we see with the San Jose Sharks right now. Plain and simple. Watching them flip a game on its head and put a team like Dallas, who is a very, very good team, a contending team, put them on their heels, make a deficit disappear, and suddenly turn it into a one-goal game. That is wild. And I know that I will call it the low-hanging fruit, easy comparison, but I always talk about what it was like when the Warriors were starting to get good, when Steph Curry and Klay Thompson and Draymond Green and Harrison Barnes, when that group was really, really young before they even won their first championship. But way back when, they would start to do this in games. And I know this is a cross-sport comparison, and not only is comparison the thief of joy, I often feel it is the thief of critical thinking because it lends itself to laziness. And I think I am being lazy in this one because there's probably, you know, so many differences across the two sports, but it's that same feeling. It's like, oh wow, this team suddenly got hot and they're going to get it going and they have a chance to do anything at any moment. Because when you watch Colin Graf score 2 goals in a game, when you watch Macklin Celebrini just ripping off shot after shot after shot, when you watch the way that William Eklund is driving the play, when you see Alex Wenberg doing things, when you watch Igor Chernyshov, who, by the way, is a blankety-blankin' freight train, he does not have that first-step quickness like a Macklin Celebrini. But when he gets two steps, oh my God, does he get his momentum going. He is big. He is fast. He creates separation. And you can't take the puck from him. There were multiple instances last night when he showed speed up the wings and guys would come up thinking they could stop him or take the puck away, and they would just bounce off him as Chernyshov kept on barreling forward. His speed and his dynamic nature adds a threat to that line alongside Celebrini that is hard to deny, and I am not trying to say this in the pejorative or in the devil's advocate or anything like that, but it makes you not miss Will Smith, at least in the very, very short term. Now, could they have used Will Smith in his shot and his passing and his playmaking last night? Of course. Of course you want him out there. I'm just saying that Igor Chernyshov has come into this league and played at an extremely high level that gives you a lot of hope of what his game can rapidly turn into. And I, as I've liked to said, I am a Colin Graf truther from day one. I have liked his game immediately. He always reminded me of Logan Couture in the sense that he had a complete game, high level of competitiveness. I said that it'd be unfair to demand the same level of offensive upside from him, but all of a sudden Colin Graf has what? 7 points in his last seven games. He's having a rapid evolution of that defensive side in conjunction with what I think is one of the best sticks going in the NHL right now on the defensive side. He creates offense and breakaways from his defensive play, from being able to work that poke check, pop the puck away, and then suddenly go breaking down the ice. It happens time and time again. It's not like it's just one or two times over the course of a season. He's doing this consistently on penalty kills. He's doing this consistently 5-on-5. He's doing this at various points of the game. And as I've been saying, going back to the interview I did with Johnny Lazarus right after that game they had with the win in Madison Square Garden, Colin Graf is becoming a problem for the opposition. Guys are looking at his game and realizing that he continues to put on size. He continues to be faster. His intelligence, his ability to be in the right place at the right time. I will say this. Yes, it helps to play along Macklin Celebrini's wing, but also it's not happening by accident. He is consistently finding himself in the right place at the right time, and that is something that cannot be denied. But you know, you watch the way that fourth line plays with Gaudreau and Reeves and Ostapchuk. And Ostapchuk, I felt bad for him last night because he got that tip goal and then they took it off the board. But you know what? He's got his first point 2 games ago in Calgary and again was impactful last night. Watch his game continue to grow. You know, you're watching all these players come for San Jose and be playing at a very, very high level. Even Shakir Mukhmudulin last night, right? He's got a goal and his game is showing these steps. And it's just, it's hard to walk away from that game with a woe-is-me mentality or be too concerned because the future is so very, very bright. The way that this team has weapons everywhere, it gets quite scary in a real hurry. And I start thinking about what the lineup is going to be like in the future and what the lines are going to be like. You look at that top line, and it's going to be Celebrini, Smith, and who's going to be the other one, right? Is it going to be Graf? Is it going to be Chernyshov? You know, and then you look at the second line of the future and you're probably thinking that's going to be Misa at the 2C. And then you're going to have Musty, maybe Graf there as well. I don't know if you want to keep Graf on the top line forever, but his chemistry with Celebrini is so darn good. And then on the third line next year, you might have something like, you know, Wennberg at the 3C. And then you have Toffoli on one of the wings. And then you can start thinking about where you go from there. And it's really scary, guys. They have so much talent and there's still talent coming up and it's rapidly evolving. And I think this is going to lend itself to a lot of the discussions about what's going to happen at the deadline. But it's scary. And I remember there was a tweet that came out earlier this year. It was after the Sharks started off 0-4-2. And it said something to the effect of the Sharks are the only team in the NHL that have the ability to trade all their veterans at the deadline and turn into a better team because of it. Now, I don't think the Sharks are going to trade all their veterans at the deadline. I think that Mike Greer does not want to do much to ruin this situation. And I say that assuming that they will still be close to a playoff spot when we do get to that point of the year. If they're not, if they've dropped off, then maybe the situation and the decision-making will be a little bit different. However, I do think that the Sharks have the ability to have these young players stepping into the lineup and be able to perform at a very, very high level. And if they do trade one of these veteran players, they're going to be able to absorb it and continue their ascension. If it's me right now, I would not mind them locking up a player like Alex Wennberg. I would not mind them keeping a player like Mario Ferraro. I think that when you get in the discussions of some of the other players, yeah, then I think there's a little bit more of not replaceability, but you understand where the decision might be made based on, you know, the defensive players that are coming. You know, you look at the evolution of Sam Dickinson, you look at the evolution of a Luca Cagnoni. You know, these are all things that are going to be going into consideration. But again, as much as we had a, you know, thought the team had a John Klingberg problem a couple of weeks ago, suddenly he turns his game around and has been a very impactful player. And, you know, Iorio has been better in his recent appearances. And, you know, one of the things that I've talked about with the Sharks cooling down has been the absence of Vinny Desharnais and what a good player he has been. So, you know, we are watching Mike Greer bring in the right talent consistently. We are watching the staff figure out the needs of this team. But again, you start thinking about all these young players that are going to be part of the future, and it makes me not worried about what happened last night because the Sharks made some mistakes. Dallas is a veteran, true contender, whereas the Sharks are hoping to contend for a playoff spot, and Dallas took advantage. And, you know, the first goal they scored, that was just, you know, a play where the Sharks got caught out a little bit and Ned was out a little bit and it didn't go the way they had hoped it to. And then you go to the fourth goal where Ned turned it over. And again, that's, I'm not trying to call him out individually. There's more than one thing that can go wrong on a play, but Dallas took advantage and good teams take advantage of those situations. And that cannot be overlooked. But then you get to the fact that this is all centering around the play of Macklin Celebrini, that once again, he has a multi-point night. He's assisting on big, important goals as the Sharks try to fight their way back into the game. It's not happening by accident. That's another term I'll use here, is he is consistently leading his team back into the fray, back into games, even if they are down. He had a two-point game. That brings him to 53 on the year. Colin Graf had two goals. He had a two-point game. Delandria had a point. Mukka Madulin had a goal out of this one, which gives him a point. Chernyshov had an assist. And that shows you that even in a game where the Sharks are not having incredible offensive output, that top line of Celebrini, Graf, and Chernyshov are doing all the right things. And then you get a D-man and Mukka Madulin scoring, and then Delandria getting a point. I mean, it's pretty scary the way that they can attack you from different angles. And when we start talking about the future, it's, of course, making sure that they have all the right players on that D core and developing young talent. And that's, again, it's a process. I'm not trying to rush this. I'm just saying the way the Sharks' talent is, the way that they have developed this talent, the way that they are able to bring guys in to the lineup. Ethan Cardwell has been great. He's another name I didn't even talk about. You know, for the future and watching his play, he's been phenomenal and I appreciate what he's been doing, you know, having him on the third line, fourth line situation going forward, you know, it makes you feel good about the future, but you know, the Sharks have allowed these guys to grow. And, you know, when you talk about what the Sharks have seen from that 2024 class, where you've already got Macklin Celebrini, Igor Chernyshov and Sam Dickinson out there playing at a pretty darn high level. And with Macklin, that goes without saying, but Sam Dickinson, obviously still figuring things out. It takes longer for defensemen, but Chernyshov has come in and looked very potent. It's scary, guys. That's the word that I keep on coming to. The Sharks have so much ability that is being realized in real time that puts them ahead of schedule. It's a whole lot of fun to watch. And again, we're learning more and more about these players. Like right now, we've seen flashes of that speed of Chernyshov. We are going to see more. You know, Colin Graf, we had him pegged as a penalty killer earlier this year, and then now his offensive game is surging, and he's got, like I said, 7 points in the last seven games. And then Macklin Celebrini, to come back to him, he keeps on taking his game to another level, seemingly week to week. And the way he was pushing last night, the way he was being aggressive with his shots, one of my favorite moments of the night, they were on the power play, third period, and he just claps his stick on the ice. He's doing it over and over, saying, give me the puck. And that's what you want from your best player and your leader and your superstar and your future face of the NHL. You want him to have that confidence to say, give me the puck. I'm about to score a goal, or I'm about to make a play that's going to get us in this game. And I give Dallas a lot of credit. Dallas did a very good job of blocking shots last night, particularly Macklin Celebrini. And that's one of the reasons why they won this game. You know, they found themselves in the lanes. They made life difficult for San Jose. San Jose, as much as they were coming wave after wave, line after line, and really trying to flipped the game on its head, to which they did have Dallas on their heels. They still held tight. Again, a lot of respect for Dallas out of this one, but my reaction continues to be that the Sharks have so much talent already, have so much ability that it's scary to think about the future. And, you know, it used to be a year ago the Sharks would lose and, you'd be like, oh, God, here we go again. And I don't say that to be mean or anything, but, yeah, they were losing long stretches of games, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 double-digit losses and streaking so. And you'd have a win or two punctuating the losses, but then you go on a long losing streak. But the Sharks this year, other than the 0-4-2 start, they haven't had more than two losses in a row. And they've won 3 and 4 games consecutively on multiple occasions. And again, to me, this is indicative of growth. And the way that they've played at home has been really, really good. And they're a road record. You got to give them a lot of credit in this capacity, too. They're 7-9-0. That's not a terrible record to have on the road. You know, you look at a lot of the teams in the NHL and you're thinking they would love to have a number like that. The Sharks have been able to take care of business. And I give them a lot of credit to continue to take these strides. And it's so much fun to watch. That's the other part of it. Like watching San Jose on the ice right now, whether it's Celebrini, whether it's Eklund, whether it's Wenberg, whether it's Graf, whether it's Chernyshov, whether it's Cardwell, whether it's Reeves, you know, whoever you want to talk about, you know, and I'm leaving names off intentionally because I can't list the entire roster, but they are fun to watch and they are having fun out there on the ice. But what I have seen is them figuring out how to turn that aggression and speed into momentum changing moments during the game, not just on scoring the goal. And the first time we really caught wind of this was earlier in that game against New Jersey, when they really tilted the ice in the second half of the game, but especially so in the second 10 minutes of the second period. It was like, whoa, this is different. And then you've seen flashes of that, but now it's starting to come more consistently. Now they're starting to really, really change the game. Now they're starting to take control, put the opposition on its heels, and they're only going to get better, guys. This isn't like it's a flash in the pan. This is a team that's going to get better week after week, month after month, I believe. And that's why I'm starting to think that this team can, you know, make a playoff spot. I know that we got a long way to go. We've only played 35 games, but it is hard not to be a believer when you start seeing it happen in front of your eyes, when you watch these guys take these strides, when you watch the rapid evolution of these players, when you see the Sharks have that flurry and fury and ferocity and speed to their game, to where there's not a lot of teams in the NHL that can do that in general. You see great teams that will defend well, that will score, that are methodical in their nature. I think Florida is one of those teams. But the way that San Jose suddenly starts buzzing, and the fact that they could do that to a team like Dallas last night, and just not, you know, not just at the start or anything, the fact that they could do it late in a game, which they were trailing, to put, you know, Dallas in a very tricky situation where they probably realized, like, uh-oh, if we are not absolutely at our best right now, we're going to lose this game. Again, not a moral victory, but signs, flashes, a portent of things to come. Man, this Sharks team, guys, the future is not just bright. It is alarming at how much talent and how much ability they will have. And I don't mean alarming in the sense that we should be concerned about anything, but I think the rest of the league probably is starting to see it too and realize, uh-oh, that's a problem in San Jose. They have Macklin Celebrini. They have Igor Chernyshov. They have Colin Graf. They have Yaroslav Askarov. They have Sam Dickinson. They have Michael Misa. They have Tyler Toffoli. They have Alex Wenberg. They have Ryan Reeves. They have Zach Ostapchuk. I mean, all these guys are individually doing things at a quality level throughout the game, and it's a lot for teams to handle. It's honestly what the better to best teams in the NHL have right now, to where every line comes in, you just think, uh-oh, this is going to be a problem. When it used to be, when the Sharks were out there, it didn't matter. I talk about the Sharks, the sexy Sharks of lore. You know, it didn't matter whether it was the first, second, or third, or fourth line. I mean, I can go back to years like 2018, 2019, when Joe Thornton is the third line center and he's feeding Kevin LeBanc, and Kevin LeBanc is having a, you know, what, 54, 56 point season. You know, obviously that's Joe Thornton, you know, at the center of that line, but you get reminded about what this team has the potential to be based on what we've seen in the past, but what we've seen now in their build, in their player pool. And you want to get back to that point where every line you put out there is causing problems for the opposition. And again, we're seeing flashes of that right now. It's not quite there yet, But for moments, for minutes, for stretches, you really see what this group is capable of. And you can't not be excited about what this team can be in very, very short order. All right, let's get into some of the highlights from last night. Dallas struck first, making it a 1-0 game in the first period.
On the left, Duchesne. He gets it across the line, buffed a little bit by Wenberg, turns away from him, protects, feeds it down low to Lindell, who dropped in below him, centered in front, and scored! That's Roope Hintz getting it from Rantanen, and it was positioned back behind the San Jose net. Not much of a chance for Nedeljkovic. Stars 1, Sharks nothing, as Hintz gets credit for the goal for Dallas. And for Roope Hintz, that is going to be his 10th of the season.
That was about 12 and a half minutes into the first period. Then roughly 5 minutes later, Wyatt Johnson doubled the lead for Dallas.
But Dallas gets it back. Johnson turns, shoots, and scores! Again, Dallas playing that like on the power play. Johnston taking the role of the bumper man in the middle, getting that pass, moving to the right side of the left wing circle, and snapping it up top. That is a brilliant goal for Dallas, and Wyatt Johnston getting credit for it. It is his 18th goal of the season, and it makes the score. Dallas 2, the Sharks nothing.
So after this first period, Dallas had the lead, but the Sharks were playing a good game. They were creating chances. I liked a lot of what I saw. And they had their breakthrough, 1:43 of the second period. Shakir Mukhmudulin getting his second goal of the year makes it a 2-1 game.
Well, Klingberg, 5 goals and 3 assists in his last 5 games, is off the faceoff. The Sharks score! Right off the faceoff, San Jose picks it up, and Shakir Mukhmudulin is going to get credit for this goal. You see what happens when you win a faceoff? And the play came out in front to Mukhmudulin, and he snapped it home. What a job.
So at this point, the Sharks are back in it. Then we go to the 8:40 mark of the second period, and Wyatt Johnson, with his second of the game, puts Dallas back in front by 2-3-1.
Hintz exchanging now with Heiskanen. Hintz on the right boards, feeds it down low in front, and Wyatt Johnson snaps one up top and scores! That is a goal scorer's goal by Wyatt Johnston, as he was defended on the play, but he got his stick loose just as the puck arrived, and he wasted absolutely no time to snap that one up top on the blocker board side of goaltender Nedeljkovic. It is 3-1 Dallas, and that's a power play goal.
So San Jose is down by 2 once again, but then Colin Graf with his 7th of the year, first of the night, assisted by Macklin Celebrini, gets the Sharks back into this game.
Off the faceoff, in front of the net, the Sharks grab it, they score! It was centered out in front, Colin Graf tipped one on goal, it was stopped there by Ottinger, but getting the rebound, Graf banged it in, no chance for Ottinger on that second opportunity, and that's the goal the Sharks have been looking for. Graf's goal makes it Dallas 3, San Jose 2, the time of that 16:44 of the second period.
Great pass by Macklin Celebrini. If you go back and watch the video of that, you can see Colin Graf say to Celebrini as he skates over, nice blank and pass. Unfortunately for San Jose, they would give up a goal with under a minute remaining in the second period to go back down by 2 goals.
Lundqvist slides it off to the left to Harley. Sends into the Shark zone. Nedeljkovic makes the stick stop. Oh no, threw it in front. They score! A giveaway by Nedeljkovic. That is exactly what the Sharks did not want to do, and Justin Ritzkovian is able to snap that interception immediately past the Sharks' netminder. I don't know what he was thinking of pushing it forward in front of his own net with him being behind the goal line, but with 42 seconds left in the period, it is 4-2 Dallas just as quickly as that.
Third period we go. The Sharks have to get one to get back into this game, and we have a beautiful tic-tac-toe play. Colin Graf with his second of the game, Igor Chernyshov with his second assist in the NHL and second point, and Macklin Celebrini with his 35th assist of the year. 4-3 now the score.
As here comes Heiskanen down the right side for the Stars. He carries into the Shark zone, into the corner, knocked down there by Colin Graf. Graf loses a stick on the play, gets it back, starts to move up the ice, and Chernyshov grabs it and skates out. Crisscrosses with Graf, feeds on the left, Celebrini, back for Chernyshov, in front, Graf, tip, score! What a spectacular goal! Celebrini to Chernyshov, to Graf, Graf's second goal, makes the score, Dallas 4, the Sharks 3, and that is Colin Graf's 8th of the year.
The Sharks had already been making a push at this point, but then they really, really turned things up on Dallas, and somehow Dallas was able to survive. I don't know how, I don't know when, but you know, the power of belief that the Sharks play with is so dangerous to try and go against, and Dallas was able to hold on. They added an empty netter to make it 5-3. That was your final, but geez, guys, it is scary when the Sharks get some momentum. They know how to change the game. They know how to turn things around. They are going to learn how to do this more and more, not just when their backs are against the wall, but when it's earlier in the games. And that's when the NHL is going to have the true problem of the San Jose Sharks on their hands. I don't know that it happens this year, but the way they have the ability to change games should concern every other team in the NHL, because they can do it and they can do it fast. You feel it. It's like a wave that washes over the ice, and all of a sudden it's tilted downwards and the Sharks are coming full speed ahead, going at the opposition's goal. Let's get into some post-game reaction. Here's head coach Ryan Warsofsky.
Coach, it seemed like every period seemed like a well-played game, that you should have came out on top of each of those periods with a couple of mistakes at the end of the day against a team like that. Was the game?
Yeah, I thought we played pretty well. And we just gave them a couple there. The first two out of our structure in D-zone, the one the power play there they got. So had our opportunities.
When you just look at those mistakes, obviously the fourth goal is one through there. What did you see? Ned said, you know, it's a play he executed before in the game. What did you see in the fourth goal against?
Yeah, I mean, we gave it right to him. Tough timing.
Are those mistakes just the difference between you and the Stars? You guys obviously played with them the entire game, with them the most of the whole game.
We got to clean up a couple things, but we played a hard game against a really tough opponent that's built extremely well as far as their size, their strength, their big forwards, a superstar in Rantanen, Robertson, I mean, Hintz, you know, Heskinen, you go down the line. So we went punch to punch with them and came up a little short. You know, we shoot ourselves in the foot a couple times and they bury it. We get some chances, they save it. So sometimes that happens.
Comparing against the game 2 weeks ago against them, though, is there just a extra swagger that you guys are playing with now?
Yeah, I'd say that's fair to say. We have we're starting to figure it out, how hard we have to play. You know, the identity we need to play with, the structure we need to play with. You know, you can feel it when we get some momentum that we're playing with it a little bit longer. We're getting some good looks. We're playing quicker. So there's definitely been a step in our game here.
So, Coach, is it easier to rebound when you play against a team of this ilk that well, and then you can say that we play well against a top two team and we should be able to respond well after this?
Yeah, I hope so. You know, I think, like I just said, we have a good thing going as far as how we want to play. I thought that was one of our better games of the year. And unfortunately, we come up with the loss. But we'll get better. There's some things we got to clean up. But there's some real big positives that we can take from this, and we got to move forward. We play again on Saturday.
One of the big positives was that top line with Chernyshov, you know, Mack, yeah, them doing that tic-tac-toe goal to grab second one. So how nice is it to have those guys have that chemistry kind of right away like that?
Yeah, it's been nice. You know, I thought they had their moments throughout the game, and then, you know, big one there in the third. Garfers, obviously, he's playing at a high level right now. I think Cherny's come up and given us some good, really good shifts and done some really good things. We'll kind of keep working with him to improve some things in other areas of the ice, but he's done good.
And what are some things that Igor can improve, and what did you like about his game tonight too?
And, you know, just to play away from the puck, his wall play, getting into defensemen, his finer details of playing at this level, which is to be expected. It's not on the kid. It's we're gonna have to work with him on some details of his game, but he's gonna be a good player.
What do you kind of say at this second intermission here after that goal? Emotions, I'm sure, raw at that point. What was kind of your message there?
Message was, it was 5-1 against Pittsburgh. It's only 4-2 against Dallas. So we've done it. This is a smaller hill to climb. We know we got it in here to do it. Nothing needs to be said really other than that.
Again, it's in their back pocket now. They know that they're capable of coming back from a deficit. They know that they were able to do it in Toronto. They know that they were able to do it against a team like Pittsburgh the other day. They know what they can do to change a game. Armed with that knowledge, the rest of the NHL should be very, very concerned. All right, we are just about out of time. Let's take a look at what's up next for San Jose. It is Seattle, Saturday night at 7 at the Tank. 6:30 pregame right here on the Sharks Audio Network. 7 o'clock go time. And then the Sharks have one more after that, Tuesday night at Vegas, before they get a three-day break for the Christmas holiday. All right, I will see you all on Saturday for the San Jose Sharks. I am Ted Ramey signing off.
This podcast can be found on demand anytime on the Sharks Plus SAP Center app. All music by Yogi Yend.